Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102.
Responding to 401 Park and Circus, Section 1 Boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, I'm attended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, Black Bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, the LP Zone, Loss Prevention Zone. We're talking all about loss prevention, retail security, mall security, and we're glad to have you with us. I'm Rick McCann. I am the founder and CEO of Private Officer International. We are a security and law enforcement association based in Atlanta, Georgia, since 2004. Glad to have you on board today for our weekly Loss Prevention Zone radio show. We are broadcasting today from Studio A. And we're glad to have you. Today we're going to be talking all about armed confrontations with loss prevention and how that is on the rise. It really is. I've said this before, but back when I was in loss prevention, and I know it's been 7,500 years ago. It's been a while ago. But back when I was in loss prevention, we only had an armed confrontation once or twice a year per store. Nowadays, it's becoming almost a daily thing, a weekly thing. We're seeing a lot more armed confrontations involving shoplifters, armed with guns, knives. Just about 2 weeks ago, police in Federal Way, Washington, shot and killed an armed shoplifter. And it's definitely on the increase. And we're going to be addressing that a little bit more in depth coming up shortly. It is hot out there. I mentioned this on my radio program the other night. We need to be hydrating. Of course, working in loss prevention, you have the luxury of being indoors. Oh, that was nice, wasn't it? Being in retail, it's warm inside when it's cold outside, and cold and cool and nice and crisp inside when it's hot, muggy, and sticky outside. So that was the benefits of loss prevention. But be sure, if you are in retail security, mall security, that you are watching and paying extra attention to the vehicles in your parking lots and make sure that there's no small children or animals being left inside those vehicles. In the last week, we know of at least 3 children across the country who have died from heat stroke being left cooped up in the vehicle. Temperatures can quickly climb to 120 degrees, 130 degrees inside a closed vehicle in the heat of the summer, as right now here in the southeast, looking at the temperature right now, it's 97.9 with a heat index of 104. Imagine being stuck in a closed up car with no air conditioning, no ventilation. That temperature inside is probably going to be closer to 110, 120, 115, somewhere in there. So very quickly, a small infant, a child, or an animal, even an elderly person, could quickly succumb from heat stroke. So it's very important that if you are working retail security that you keep your eyes on the parking lot. Be on the lookout for children left in the vehicles. And, of course, never leave your children or pet inside a closed-up vehicle, even in the wintertime. Even though it may only be 60, 50 degrees on the outside, temperatures can quickly rise, magnified through the glass of the vehicle. So just keep that in mind. Okay, we've been notified also today by press release that a number of cities has begun opening cooling centers again this week. They had a few cooling centers open in various cities a couple weeks ago, but with temperatures hovering right around 100 degrees and heat index between 110 and 115 in many areas, we've been notified that a number of cities and states have again opened cooling centers for those of you who may not have any air conditioning or you just want to save on your electric. There are many YMCAs, Red Cross facilities, churches, and other shelters that normally would open up for other types of disasters have now been opened up by the Red Cross because of the heat that is hovering over the U.S. right now. If you missed out last night on the Officer Down Response Team conference call, then you will definitely want to join us Thursday evening, 8 p.m. That is daylight savings time here on the East Coast, 8 p.m. Join us. We will have another round two of the conference call, the Officer Down Response Team. Our teams that we are putting together regionally throughout the U.S. to respond to assist security officers that are injured or killed in the line of duty. And this affects uniform security, plainclothes, loss prevention, campus, private police, special police, and any type of security officer, public or private, across the country. And we've had this question asked a number of times, do we have to be members to help out? You don't have to be members of the association, and we're not responding to just members of our association. We're responding to any security officer injured or unfortunately killed in the line of duty. If you want to join us tomorrow night, Thursday, the 4th of August, 8 p.m. daylight savings time, which would be 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Pacific, I believe. You can dial into us. The number for the conference call is 712-432-0800. Again, that number is 712-432-0800. Now, they will ask you for a PIN number when you call, and that PIN number is 843081. Let me give it to you one more time. Write it down. Be sure to be on the call because we had a great conference call last night, and we will have, I'm sure, another great call tomorrow night. Again, the phone number is area code 712-432-0800, and the PIN number is 843081. Also tonight at 7:30 p.m. daylight savings time here on the East Coast, we will be bringing you live part two of our training series that we started on Monday on child neglect and abuse. Recognize, react, and respond. Part two tonight. If you missed part one, it is available on demand on iTunes as well as on our own website. It is an excellent training course. Preliminary first responder training course. Child neglect and abuse is on the rise, more than 5 million cases reported in 2009. If you're working in private security, loss prevention, mall security, public safety, you definitely will see signs, circumstances, and situations, incidents involving child neglect and child abuse. Learn how to recognize it, identify it, react, and respond to it tonight in Child Abuse and Neglect Part 2, 7:30 right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Well, I've had a couple of questions in the last few weeks. You may have heard or maybe not. We are in the process of writing the language for two separate pieces of legislation. We are working on legislation right now to make it a felony in every state to assault a private security officer in the performance of their duty. There are a number of states, including Texas, Illinois, Florida has it for retail security, and a number of other states that already have made it a felony to assault a security officer while trying to detain, arrest, or apprehend you. We're working on a piece of legislation right now that will make it a felony in every state, that when a security officer is trying to perform their duty and you assault them, that it is a felony just like assaulting a law enforcement officer. Part of the language that we have written into the law came from the statute actually in the state of Texas, which has a fine piece of legislation there to protect their security officers in the state of Texas. So we are working on that. We have already sent out the first draft to a number of state representatives, and we will be working on a secondary draft coming up soon, and we hope to have this passed in all 50 states. The second piece of state legislation that you may not be aware of that we're working on is called the Private Security Officer Safety and Protection Act, which has a number of criteria that clients and security agencies must meet before staffing security on a property. In other words, if you are staffing security officers on an apartment complex that you know has had three murders in the last year, there's specific criteria that must be met. You must have adequate staffing. You must have immediate emergency communications available for the security officer. And there must be proper training to be able to meet the duties and responsibilities of that position on that property. So that legislation, we are right now in the first draft, working on the wordage, the verbiage of that legislation. We hope to have that wrapped up this month, and we will be joining that together with the first piece of legislation, making this also a law in every state, so that it really helps the security officer. It's you know, the whole idea behind it, of course, is to be able to protect the security officer from any injuries on the property. And we're working diligently every day with our attorneys and legal staff and others in the industry to make this law a reality. So those two pieces of legislation, keep them in mind. We will be broadcasting the information here on the radio via our email news alerts, as well as on our main website and our forums to update you. Right now, we've had a number of responses already from state legislators, several state legislators, including Connecticut, and I believe it was Idaho, was very receptive and will be presenting this in their next session. So it's a great piece of legislation, and we ask that you, your employers, and others in the industry that you know get behind this and make it happen. I also want to ask you to be part of our growth. As you know, Private Officer International is a growing security and law enforcement organization. We have members throughout the U.S. and in 28 countries right now. We have a lot of great things to offer private security and public safety officers, and we need more of them. The more members that we can have, the more financial assistance we'll be able to give, the more services we'll be able to give, and it works, you know, rather than ask people for money, basically because we are a membership-supported organization, we just need our members to support us through paying their membership, making sure that we have growth continually, and that we're able to finance all these great things that we want to do. We're asking you to make sure that you continue to keep our name out in front of your coworkers and your managers, even if they don't want to hear. And one of the ways that you can do that is actually by forwarding our news alerts, our emails, making sure that they're part of our forums. Get them involved in all of the activity going on with Private Officer International, and they will eventually, I'm sure, you know, if you put something in front of someone enough, eventually they're going to just either recognize the benefits or give in and say, okay, sign me up. So we ask that you forward our emails, our news blasts, make sure that your coworkers and supervisors, managers, and even the owners of the agency sign up to be on the forums and just, you know, get them involved in as much as possible and as many things as possible. Let them know about the Officer Down response teams. This is something that everyone can support. It doesn't take any money, just a little bit of time. While we're on the air, as always, you can email us at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Be sure to send us any information that you want. Give us a heads up on any training going on, any promotions in your area. We'll be happy to announce that. Also, you can follow us, as we always tell you, on the Internet. We have a very large footprint growing every day. Just go to our main website at privateofficer.com. Click on the links there for Facebook, Twitter, our own forums, which is growing every day. We have about 650 members. We have lots of videos, photos, lots of interaction from security personnel around the country and around the world. Join us on the forums and follow our daily news blog, which is updated several times a day, right there from our main website, www.privateofficer.com. Well, as I was saying at the interim of the radio show, as you know, private security officers working in loss prevention, retail, and mall security these days are being injured. They're being confronted by armed suspects more and more every day. In fact, thousands of security officers are injured in the line of duty, more than 30,000. 30,000 assaults against private security personnel occur every year. More than 9,000 serious injuries and more than 80 to 100 security officers are killed in the U.S. every year, including several involved in loss prevention and retail security. Armed confrontations is definitely on the rise. And we're going to be talking about that, and not only in this show, but in a number of shows. In fact, next week on Monday, we will be, that's on the 9th of August, we will be addressing armed confrontations in a show called Armed and Dangerous. We will have several security officers on that show that have recently been involved in gunfire, gun battles with armed suspects. We will also be addressing other forms of armed confrontations with security officers who have been involved recently. In 2 weeks, we will have a special show on our Monday night radio program about special police. We will be interviewing several special police officers from Virginia and Maryland and one from Missouri and talking about how that assists them in their services that they provide to their clients. Does it make a difference between having a special commission and not having a commission? And how does it help them? And does it harm them in any way? And in 3 weeks, we will be talking about self-contained HOA security and police agencies. We'll be interviewing a police chief from Virginia who is involved. They have their own self-contained police department within a property that has over 10,000 residents. We'll also be interviewing and talking with a security chief from Florida. His property has about 15,000 residents. And we'll be talking to a property that has not only a police department, but also a fire and rescue squad. All self-contained. And this is actually talking to several architects, last week, this is actually on up and coming. Many communities now building self-contained towns within the town. People want to work and live and shop and do all that living within a self-contained unit without driving miles, without putting up with the traffic, the headaches, you know, and it's a lot more comforting to them, less headaches, less stress, and this is becoming really the way to do it. So I'm really looking forward to that show coming up in a few weeks. We also have a show on responding and handling sex crimes. We'll be talking to a sex crime investigator from the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department. And we also have a show coming up in 5 weeks on tenant violations and talking about how security should respond and react whenever they're notified or they become involved in a tenant violation. Woo, we got a lot of great shows coming up. And if you'd like to be involved either as a co-host or a guest, just send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. And we will be glad to have you on the air. We will be right back after this message from our sponsor.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm pretty certain she's lost too much blood on the middle. You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I don't need to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. With the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, when we went to dinner, I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stack.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and the state.
No!
What you want to do?
It's another disaster, Goliath.
What's a disaster?
That's when bad things happen to people in the world. Things we don't expect. And it's just awful.
Oh, Davy, that is awful.
I sure am glad that no matter what happens, God is there.
God is there?
Sure, Goliath. God is there through the hands of the people who help after a disaster.
Shouldn't we help?
You're right, Goliath.
But how can we help? We're just a boy and a dog.
Even small hands and paws can make a big difference if we all work together.
Afternoon, enjoying another lovely, sunny, warm day here in the Southeast. We hope that you're having a great week so far. And I want to remind you one more time, if you did miss our Officer Don Response Team conference call last night, we do have another one tomorrow, 8 p.m. Daylight Savings Time on the East Coast. Dial us at 712-432-0800. Again, that number is 712-832-0800, and the PIN number to punch in when you get that is 843-081. And of course, join us tonight for part two of the child abuse and child neglect show, which, you know, I have to be honest with you, when we did the show on Monday, it was quite touching and a little bit upsetting. As I've discussed a number of times, you know, three things I can't stand is child abuse, elder abuse and animal abuse, because these are people that cannot defend themselves. They can't get away. They're captive. They're being held hostage. They have no choice but to submit to the abuse. And, you know, it's a terrible thing, and we can do something about it. So join us tonight for part two to learn what to look for, how to recognize, react, and respond to child abuse and child neglect. Also want to remind you that coming up in just about 3 weeks, I guess, I will be in Peoria, Illinois. That's just outside of Chicago, for the Midwest Security Police Conference and Expo. Looking forward to that. I'll be delivering a speech on the changing roles of private security, as well as having a booth set up in the Expo area. And we'll also be in Virginia Beach. That's coming up, I believe it's September. Let me just double check on that. We will be in Virginia Beach on the 14th, 15th, and 16th of September for the Virginia Department of Criminal Justice, Law Enforcement, and Private Security Conference. And on the 19th of September, I will be in Orlando, Florida at the ASIS convention being held at the Convention Center down in Orlando. So if you're in any of those places, join us. I will also be in New Orleans again for the second time coming up later this month. I believe it's the 28th. And if you are in the New Orleans area, contact us, and you will be more than welcome to be in on that training free of charge. If you're listening and you are a company that advertises, uses different mediums to get your message out, please consider using Private Officer International, our website. And different media forums has more than 240,000 hits each month and growing every day. Contact Brian Hill at POI, Private Officer International. His email address is brianhill@privateofficer.com, and he will get you that information out. One other quick note before we move into our topic of the day. We are doing some research on a new network that we are setting up called SPINE. That is the Security Police Information and News Exchange. I know that many areas has or have something similar, or at least some areas. I don't know about many. Some areas do have something similar set up. So if you are in an area where you get emails or texts or phone calls from your local police on suspicious activities, different crime happening in your area, or wanted persons, please send me an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. If you can, send me a sample of that delivery message, whether it be a text or email, and it would help us out in our formatting the SPINE, Security Police Information and News Exchange. And we hope to get this up and running by the first of the year. It will deliver information in specific areas about crime stats and different crime that's happening in your area, as well as wanted persons, missing persons, and things of that nature. Okay, moving on to our subject. Every year, the Jack Hayes International Company, based in Florida, calculates and put together all the statistics for loss prevention, apprehensions, arrests, and things of that nature that occur every year. And yesterday, the press release came out from Jack Hayes International. And in 2010, shoplifters and dishonest employees stole over $7 billion. $7 billion. But here's the more astounding fact of that information. $7 billion in theft basically all came from just 23 major retailers. In other words, that $7 billion, it all came from Walmart, Target, Kmart, Sears, Lowe's, Home Depot, Macy's. That was 9 retailers I named just then offhand. So the bulk of shoplifting, in other words, that goes on across the U.S. is happening in just 24 retailers. Now, those retailers, granted, do have hundreds and thousands of outlets, stores throughout the country, but nonetheless, they are definitely big-time targets of shoplifters. $7 billion stolen in 2010. Wow. For the first time in over 10 years, the total shoplifter and dishonest employee apprehensions and the dollars recovered from those apprehensions actually declined just a little bit from the previous year. What that means is that the amount stolen by the shoplifters overall declined by a little bit. Instead of stealing $1,000 at a time, they stole $999 at a time. The survey also showed that there were more than 1 million, get this, 1 million shoplifting apprehensions and arrests in the U.S. last year, in 2010. More than 1 million. In 2008, there were 900,000 apprehensions and arrests, so it went up considerably. There were also over 69,000 dishonest employees caught, apprehended, arrested, and more than $148 million recovered through these arrests and apprehensions. So the 1 million shoplifters that were caught, they were able to recover $148 million from the thieves overall in 2010. So as you can see, a pretty big job for loss prevention, a great job for loss prevention to be able to recover so much, to make so many apprehensions as they did. And my hat is off to them because I've been in this field. I know what it takes to make the apprehension a good stop and to be able to recover money. There is a battle going on in retail. There's a lot of organized retail crime out there growing every day. We will have a show about that next week here on Loss Prevention, LP Zone, next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time or Daylight Savings Time. We'll be talking to several security experts and loss prevention investigators about organized retail crime. But that is substantial recovery, $148 million that security officers recovered from thieves, more than 69,000 dishonest employees. Wow. In all, the report says 1,029,276 shoplifters and dishonest employees were apprehended in 2010. Wow. That is substantial. That is substantial. They recovered more than $44 million of stolen merchandise from dishonest employees. Wow. On a per-company basis, according to this 2010 report, one in every 33 employees was apprehended for theft from their employer. One in every 33 employees was apprehended for theft. So if you have one store that has 150 employees, you're looking at five dishonest employees in your store right now. If you have 50 employees in your store, you're looking at two of them being dishonest, being criminals, stealing from you. There is a lot of internal theft happening every day, from small boutiques to major retailers. It is a huge problem. It always has been. We did a show about 3 weeks ago here on the LP Zone about 6 ways that employees can quickly steal hundreds and thousands of dollars. If you missed that, go back and listen to it. You will find that information pretty interesting and astounding as well. Juvenile crime is on the rise as well within the retail environment, as well as armed confrontations. And I don't see a decline in it. I really don't. Regardless of the economy, whether the economy is good or bad, there's always going to be a lot of people, unfortunately, who want something for nothing. Today we're talking a little bit about armed confrontations and how they are definitely on the increase, you know, in the security environment, whether it be for uniform or plain clothes.
A warm night, shoppers everywhere, and gunshots fired. It happened in a Walmart parking lot.
Detectives are piecing together a deadly shooting by a Federal Way police officer. KOMFOR's Lindsay Cohen is live in Federal Way with tonight's developments. Lindsay?
5.5 hours, Dan, and counting on this investigation, one that has been handed over to an outside agency after an officer here in Federal Way gunned down a man in this Walmart parking lot. In a parking lot packed with customers,
at least 9 or 10 shots,
the unthinkable happened.
Greg emptied out his clip.
Witnesses say the Federal Way Walmart was teeming with people when all of a sudden,
I just heard gunshots.
The sound of gunfire,
like loud gunshots,
broke up an otherwise pleasant summer night.
I was just pulling up at the parking lot when I heard the gunshots.
It was in the parking lot where investigators say two uniformed Federal Way police officers confronted an alleged shoplifter. Employees had tracked him inside the store for about half an hour. As he left, officers say they tried to make contact. The suspect ran away and, according to police, reached for what looked like a weapon at his ankle. One officer fired a series of shots. The suspect died at the scene.
It was just a rapid succession of gunfire, and then we heard all the sirens and came over to check out what was going on.
Kent police, who are handling the investigation, won't say yet how many shots that officer fired. They did find a handgun on the suspect. Tonight, the parking lot is taped off, shoppers kept at bay, and police are piecing together what led up to all of this.
I didn't hear anything going on. I just came outside and I saw the yellow tape, and I said, oh, something bad happened, you know?
Well, there's still plenty of questions police couldn't answer here tonight. We don't know what that man was allegedly seen shoplifting. We don't know his identity. And most importantly, as we mentioned before, we don't know how many shots were fired here in this parking lot. We have to know those answers as well as much more on what happened here.
Gaston, Alabama, police responded just this past week to armed shoplifters. Two shoplifters pulled a weapon on loss prevention as they tried to detain a female shoplifter in a Sears store. Two males, then seeing what happened, ran to intercept security, store security, and mall security, and pulled weapons, threatening to kill security if they did not release the woman. In Clinton, Mississippi, which is part of Jackson, Mississippi, a man was taken down by security after he pulled a knife on them as they tried to arrest him for shoplifting at the Super Walmart on Highway 80. In Fort Myers, Florida, a Naples man had a gun in his pants when loss prevention agents tried to subdue him. Police say he's been charged with the gun offense. He did not have a time to pull the gun because loss prevention had subdued him and handcuffed him quickly. Seattle, Washington, police there say a shoplifter, unhappy that he was being detained at a Kmart, pulled a knife and threatened to cut the security officer's throat. Police apprehended the suspect nearby. Rockville, Maryland, a security officer was sliced with a box cutter as he tried to detain a shoplifter in the mall. Rock Hill, South Carolina, Walmart security agents were injured while subduing an armed shoplifter. Newington, Connecticut, police say two armed shoplifters fled after they pointed a handgun at security while being apprehended at a Macy's. Nashville, Tennessee, police are on the lookout for two armed suspects who assaulted a security officer and pulled a gun as they fled a nearby mall. These are the headlines every day and every week as they cross our desk. I can tell you, this is definitely on the rise. It's definitely a life and death situation for loss prevention agents and retail security officers, mall security officers. It's something that is going up, not going down, and we need to be stepping up our game. Unfortunately, I don't know of any retailer or any mall in the U.S., and I travel from here to there, north, south, east, west, every week I'm someplace. I've been in this business for a long time. I don't know of any retailer, department store, or mall that allows their security staff to carry handguns. I know a few retailers and shopping malls have off-duty law enforcement, but I'm talking about private security agents or officers. If you are working for JCPenney, Macy's, Walmart, Target, Kmart, Dillard's, Belk's, or any of the other major or minor leaguers in the retail industry, you are working unarmed. If you are apprehending and arresting, detaining shoplifters 30, 40, 50 a month, then the propensity for violence against you has increased twofold at least. Being a loss prevention agent or a mall security officer, you are pretty much on your own and left to your own defenses when it comes to armed confrontations. There are a couple of things that we need to look at. In the security industry and public safety, there is something called fight or flight. And as a professional security agent, loss prevention agent, you will need to consider if your situation is a fight or flight situation. It's not worth losing your life over a little bit of merchandise or even a lot of merchandise. There are a couple of things that you need to do or can do to prevent injuries and death as a loss prevention agent or even a mall security officer. Talking from experience, while observing the shoplifters or shoplifter, I always assessed the situation. I always looked at the individual, at the possibility of more conspirators in the store or outside waiting to assist him or her. A good assessment of the incident at hand could prevent you from being injured or even killed. If you assess the situation, if you see that you have a potential for violence, if you can see that the suspect maybe much larger than you. Maybe there are outward appearances and signs that he is a gang member or she is a gang member. If you can assess that this is a professional shoplifting, if you can see other suspicious persons in the store that may be part of this theft, sometimes using the camera systems that I didn't have the luxury of having until the end of my loss prevention journey, sometimes with the camera system, you can zoom right up into a person's body and see a weapon, see a gun, see a bulge, you may have some insight at that point whether or not you should contact law enforcement. Before ever stopping a suspect, whether it be in the mall or at the store door, out in the parking lot, a good assessment should be made as quickly as possible. No, I know you don't have time to jot it all down and map it all out and do a playbook on how to stop each suspect. I understand that. I know that things happen quickly and that people can leave, you know, hit and miss. I know that. But you need to have good observation, good assessment, and good situational awareness, as with any officer safety situation. If you even suspect that there are multiple offenders, if you even surmise that there might be a danger in this apprehension, if you even have an inkling, a feeling, you know, if you've been in this business long enough, you get a gut feeling, hey, this is not the average shoplifter. This is not the average caper. This is not going to be the average stop. I need to get some backup. You know, yeah, the assistant manager is available. I've got Tom in receiving. He says he'll come out and help me anytime. That's good. That's all well and good. But I think I'm going to need a little bit more. I better call in backup. I better call in the cavalry. Get on the phone and call 911. Have them be ready out in the parking lot. Have them be waiting, as was the case, unfortunately, at the Walmart in Federal Way in the Seattle metro area, Washington, 2 weeks ago. That's exactly what happened. Walmart Loss Prevention observed a theft in progress. They somehow suspected that this was not going to go down easy, that it was not going to be a regular stop, and they notified police. That's how the police was in the parking lot when the man came out. And unfortunately for him, and I don't want to second guess the police officers on scene because I wasn't there, but unfortunately for him, they were out there. And the minute he reached down to his ankle holster, unfortunately for him, these were armed law enforcement and not store security, and he lost his life. Imagine for a moment that the Walmart LP agents had gone out and made the apprehension, made the stop alone without the backup from police. Guess what would have happened? There's no doubt in my mind that this man would have drawn down on them. Why do I say that? If the man can attempt to pull his weapon knowing that police is trying to stop him and gave not a second thought about his situation, imagine how much less of a thought he would have given to security trying to stop him. So in this situation, loss prevention had forethought. Something didn't sit right with them. They knew they better get some backup, and luckily for them, they did. If you are a loss prevention agent, a mall security officer, public safety officer, you need to have good assessment skills, good situational awareness. Unfortunately, many loss prevention agents work alone, even in large stores. During the busy hours, they may have a secondary person. They may have a part-timer. But for the most part, security agents, loss prevention agents, work in ones or twos with little backup. There's a propensity for injury and confrontation because people do not want to go to jail. People do not respect law enforcement and do not respect security in this day and age. More and more shoplifters are fleeing. More and more shoplifters are determined to get away, and they have decided to fight rather than give in and be submissive to you. Armed confrontations with security and retail loss prevention is definitely on the increase. Good observation skills, good assessment skills, and a good stop policy will help decrease the number of injuries to security and deaths. The other thing that you must do, you must have, this got to be policy. I know that many retailers and companies are very hesitant to doing too much because of liability issues, but you must do a pat down and a search immediately of the suspect. The minute that you stop him, you technically have arrested him or her. The minute that you have stopped the freedom of his movement, you have taken him into custody, he is under arrest. And you must, for your own protection, immediately, as soon as you get him back in the office, do a pat down and a search. Just this year, a number of shoplifters pulled guns once detained in the loss prevention office because the LP agent never frisked, never searched. Walmart, Target, a number of retailers, Kmart, allow handcuffs. My recommendation is you handcuff everybody. Once you get them in the office, you secure them, you handcuff them. You frisk them, you search them. I know from working with Macy's in major metropolitan areas, they have their own detention room, which is like a jail cell. You have technically arrested them, even in states that don't allow private citizens' arrest. Under the law, it is an arrest the minute that you stop them. For your own safety and the safety of others, you need to do a frisk, a pat down, and a search of their property, their jacket, their pockets, their purse. Wait a minute, that you can't do that. You can't, that's illegal. No, it's not. It is legal. You have a right to protect yourself. And remember that in doing these things, you are acting as a civilian, not a law enforcement officer. Even if you are an off-duty police officer working security, you are not a police officer at that moment. You are a civilian. So you are allowed to search. You are allowed to frisk because the person is under arrest. You have every intent to prosecute this person. Then for your own safety, do that. And if your company, your store, your mall allows use of handcuffs, by all means, handcuff them, and handcuff them not in the front, not where they have full access and full use to their hands, wrists, and arms. That's foolish. I see law enforcement do it, and that is foolish. If you're going to handcuff them properly behind their back. Make it more secure, more safe for you. And unfortunately, in recent months, I've seen a number of LP agents who have handcuffed the suspect but did not frisk or search them, only to find out, you know, moments later that they were armed and they're pulling out their gun even though they're handcuffed. So four things you can do to lessen the probability of being injured. Number one, good assessment right from word go, right from the beginning of your observation of that incident. If you think that there's anything, any potential of a fight, or if this doesn't feel good, if it feels like it's going to be, you know, different than a normal stop, call the Calgary Inn. Good assessment of the incident and the suspect. Get help on the way. when you are stopping them, stop them from a safe distance. I see too many people getting right up on top of the person and then being clocked. Don't get in their face. You have to maintain reasonable distance for officer safety. Do not chase them all over from here to there and kingdom come. I know, you don't want them to get away. I was the same way back then. But unfortunately, like I said, a little bit of merchandise isn't worth losing your life or being seriously injured. And many companies have a pursuit policy, not to pursue them off the curb of the company. In other words, past the parking lot, don't pursue them. And you need to follow that procedure, that protocol, because there's a reason they have it in place. It's important. It's for your own safety. This is not 1940, 1960. Things are different today. Remember, officer safety is the key to survival. That is all that we have today. Remember, be on the Officer Down Response Team conference call tomorrow, and we look forward to having you tonight on part two of Child Abuse and Neglect, how to recognize, react, and respond to it. Until then, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.